Hey guys, we're so glad that you're tuning in to the Apex Students podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Apex Students, and we pray that you don't walk away without looking a little bit more like Jesus.
This week, I'm going to be concise because you have work to do. I'm going to put you to work. You've got jobs. You've already got homework at school. You've got homework here tonight. No, just kidding. It's good work. It's good stuff. You're going to work on your relationship with Jesus. Isn't that fun? It's a good thing. Yeah. So I'm going to go quick tonight. I'm not going to rush it because it's God's word. But I've got a shortened one, and I want to get you guys to your small groups because what we're going to do tonight is we're going to unpack a little bit. We talked about a lot, and we heard a lot from Jesus last week about what? Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Anybody? It's because you were all asleep. I guess it's my fault. I got to be more entertaining. Nobody remembers? It was a question, and it had something to do with your resolutions. What was the question, Isaac?
Well, it was three questions.
What question started it? Do you remember? Yes. Wow. Very good. Very good. Why wait? We were talking about resolutions. I don't like resolutions. I think at some point last week I said how I don't really care about how you feel. It was real intense. We got angry at each other, but I flipped it and I meant like I don't care about your feelings when they get in the way of what Jesus wants you to do. And there are three specific questions we have to ask ourselves. Isaac led us to that. Three questions we have to ask ourselves. We talked about three areas in our lives where we can say, I know I'm what I'm supposed to do. Why wait? So what were those three areas? What was one of them? Kendra. What you say, the area of what you say. Very good. What's the next one? Very similar, but different. The sister. I got the pair right in a row. Jordan. What you do, what you say, what you do. And the last one. Is that justice? Look at these Chapman kids go. Isaac, Kendra, yeah. Jordan, justice.
When you do it.
Dad is freaking out back there. Mom's having a party. They're so proud of their kids. I'm going to call your kids out later in the sermon. We got to keep them humble. No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. He said, be careful. They're my kids. I am low-key scared of your dad. He could probably break me. He's a strong-looking dude. Thanks. Yeah, what you say, what you do, and when you do it. When you do it was a pretty simple answer. When are you supposed to do the things that honor God? Always. Rejoice in the Lord. Very good. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for who you belong in Christ. For who you belong to in Christ Jesus. They are. They got all fumbled up. It was crazy, but we got there. That was part of the key passage we were talking about. And that was an easy one. When are we supposed to honor God? In everything that we do. But those first two, I want to give you guys a little bit more instruction. We talked about why it's so important to monitor what you say to make sure it's honoring Jesus. And we talked about why it's so important to monitor what you do and make sure it's honoring Jesus. But tonight, I want to talk to you guys about how you do that. So when you say something next, I want you to ask yourself what you just said. Or you could just go, say what? Everybody say, say what? So every time you say something, if you're like, hold on, I wasn't thinking about that. Did that honor Jesus? You should go.
Say what?
Yeah. You should be thinking about the things that you're saying. Let's get into that a little bit today. It can be really hard to make sure that you say and do the right thing all the time. Why is that? Why can that be so hard? Why do you guys think it's so hard? Go ahead, Joey.
You know, think before you speak.
If you don't think before you speak, then you might do the wrong thing. Yeah, yeah. It might be a split second moment where you're just going and you're not thinking about it. Yeah. Why else can it be super hard to do the right thing or say the right thing? There's a really, really good one. What if you don't know what the right thing is? That could be a huge reason why you're not saying or doing the right thing, right? Did somebody say facts? I love that. Malachi. Meme master Malachi. You bet he'll have the lingo of your generation. Facts. And then he puts the little fax machine emoji on it, right? Or reaction, right? My bad. Okay, am I trying too hard to relate to your generation? Moving on. Yeah, either you're moving so fast that you don't think about it and you do something wrong, or you don't know what the right thing to do is. This week, I want to talk to you a little bit more about how to make sure you're saying and doing the right things. So we're going to talk about why we're separating what we say from what we do. They're very similar, and they're both motivated out of the same stuff, but why is it so important to separate them? Why do you guys think? I love having conversations with you guys. Let's keep this going. Why do you guys think we separate what we say from what we do in this little teaching scenario here? Why are we going to split those two things? You guys just want me to tell you? Would that make your lives easier? Let's do that. Saying something bad or doing something bad, they're both bad decisions, probably made out of the same kind of bad thought processes, but why there's a very important reason why we have to split the two. Let's look at this verse. Luke 6:45. Anybody want to read that for me? You got that, Malachi? Thanks, dude. Luke 6:45. Who wants to read that? Go ahead, Joy. What you do flows from what is in your heart, right? Thank you. What you say flows from what is in your heart. I wonder why the verse specifically says what you say flows from what is in your heart. Or in other words, what you say shows what you are filling yourself up with. So did you guys know you're like a vessel? You hold stuff in you. You get filled up with stuff. We talked about this, I think, my first sermon with you, how your brain is made to just have heaps of information in it. You hold on to the things that you experience, and you fill yourself. Your brain holds how many gigabytes? Do you remember?
2 petabytes.
Yeah, petabytes. That is 2 million gigabytes. Yeah. Moving on, because that was a different sermon. In other words, what you say flows from your heart. In other words, what you say shows what you are filling yourself with. Not necessarily always what you do. Because you can control what you do a lot easier than what you say. Where are my siblings in the room? Where are you at? This is where I'm calling out the Chapmans and everybody else who has a sibling, because they've got a lot. Siblings, how often do you want to pick each other up and throw each other across the room? All the time. Yes, almost immediately upon them entering your bedroom. But how often, now be honest, how often do you actually act on that urge? You do act on it, I'm sure, but hopefully it's never. Some of you once or twice, but definitely not 100% of the time, right? Right, it's much easier, mostly out of necessity, to control what you do. But siblings, how often do you want to yell or argue with each other?
Never.
Yes.
Never. You just want to skip right to throwing them? Okay, and when you want to yell and argue with each other, how often do you act on that urge? Almost every time. There are nearly no inhibitions when it comes to what you say to the people who are close to you in your life, because you feel like you don't need a filter because you trust them, they trust you, and it's broken down the walls of filters of propriety that you might have with a stranger. And oftentimes, not what you do, because that's easier to control, but what you say just flies out of you when you're tired or when you're angry or when you're frustrated, and you have almost no control over it. And that is why the verse says, what you say, not what you do, flows from what is in your heart. It's much harder to stop yourself from saying things than doing things. So, now that you guys understand that concept, you need to take a look at yourselves and realize that what is in you directly affects what comes out of you. That's why we start with what we say. It's the perfect way for you to check yourselves and go, say what? What did I just say? Everybody say it. Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
You guys are great. I love this. It's a great way to check yourself and see, what am I putting inside of me? Because sometimes it just comes flying out. Why did I say that horrible thing to my siblings or my best friend or my parents? What is inside of me that caused me to act that way, to speak that way? Even if I'm only thinking about acting that way, I did say that thing. This is the reason why I love youth trips. You guys can only keep a mask on for so long before what's really inside of you comes flying out of your face holes. It is wild. The things that teenagers say when we are on an overnight trip, I fully expect that at about midnight, at our guys' night, we're going to let you sleep at 12:30, I think, is when I scheduled it, if you are going to sleep. But we are going to be going hard, competitive-wise, because we're dudes. Girls can just hang out and enjoy each other. Dudes, we need tasks. We need things to compete. And there are going to be wrestling mats, but I don't know if we will wrestle on them. Anyhow, but when you guys get past about the 6 hour mark of being with people, you get a little more tired, you get a little less cautious, and things just start flying out because what is in your heart comes out of your mouth. And I love getting to know you guys in that way. Even if sometimes it's terrifying, and even sometimes it's a little rough around the edges, I get to start seeing the real you, and it's awesome. And if it is rough around the edges, we get to work on it because you finally said something real. I don't care if it's that you think I'm ugly, at least I know what you're actually thinking now, and we can get somewhere with that. So this leads us to the most important thing that you can do to make sure you're saying and doing things that please God. And it's to monitor what you're filling yourself with. Because what you fill yourself up with is going to affect what you say and what you do. It's not just going to affect it, it's going to completely control it. Because it doesn't matter what you might decide you're like, the things that you're pouring into yourself are actually going to determine what you're like. You've been given 5 ways to tell your brain and your heart stuff about yourself. What are they? Think about it. It's tricky wording, but think about it. You have 5 ways to download stuff into yourself. What are they? There you go. Yeah, what are they? Go ahead, rattle them off.
We got
hearing. He believes in you. He's like, we got it. Hearing, I heard sight, I heard taste. Touch. And smell. Very good. Which one generally hits you the most? Everybody on 3, you pick the one that you download the most information through, and we'll all yell it on 3. 1, 2, 3. Hearing. For me, it's hearing. My wife is a visual learner. Is anybody like a tactile learner? Like you learn by feeling it out and putting things together? Cool. We all learn. Me too. I grew up as a tactile learner. We all learn differently, and we absorb information, and we download things into ourselves in all of these different ways. And it's so important to realize that the environment and the stimulus, or the things happening around you, we expose ourselves to determine what we fill ourselves up with in all of those different ways. Somebody read Matthew 6:22-23 for me. Raise your hand. Somebody do it. That is a lot. Somebody read the first verse.
It's a big
boy. Go ahead, Jameer. Go ahead, Jameer. First verse. And then Justice will do the second one because he volunteered, Jameer. Oh, snap. Go ahead, Jameer.
Your eye is like a lamp that provides light. When your eye is healthy, the whole body is filled.
Justice. How deep that darkness is. It's a riddle. It does kind of sound like Bilbo and Gollum are sharing riddles down in the lake. That was a really nerdy reference, I'm sorry, but Joy loved it, and so did Derek. So, what does this mean? What does this mean? We're talking about the eyes and how what goes in the eyes fills up the body. And it's some creative language, but it's also some literal language. And you can replace the eyes with any of those other sentences, and this would still be true about you. That what you're allowing to come into you is going to fill you up, and it's either going to be light, it's going to be good, or it's going to be dark, and it's going to be bad. And it's going to directly affect everything inside of you. In other words, what you choose to be around and focus on fills you up and affects how you think. We're going to finish up here, and we're going to start moving really fast. But guys, you need to understand that what you're filling yourself with has a direct impact on everything that you do, how you love the people around you, and whether or not you can successfully do the thing that God has called you to do. So we're going to end with, really fast, these three things that you have to do to make sure you're filling yourself with the right stuff so that you're not full of darkness, so that you're not ineffective at what God has called you to do, but you're full of light and you bring that light to other people. The first thing that you guys need to do to be full of light, can anybody guess it? It's really easy. We have like four different, you learn them in children's church, tasks that all of these have to do with. You read your Bible, you pray, you worship. We call these things spending time with God. The first thing that you can do to make sure that you're full of the right stuff is that you need to spend time with God. And I just gave you a couple examples. How do we do that? Read the Bible. What's another one? Pray. You worship. And there's another one that I don't think teenagers take with them from children's church enough. It starts with an S. We're going to do it tonight after after youth. Study? We're gonna help the rock and we're gonna help the church. This is another way to say we're going to what?
Serve.
Yes. Spend time with God, worshiping, serving, reading your Bible, and praying. I know it's going, isn't it? All right, Romans 12, 1 through 2, because we gotta get done here. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, we just talked about it, but I want you guys to take this wild language in this scripture and make it something that you can apply to your life. What are four ways that we just talked about that you can make yourself a living sacrifice? What are four things you can do with your life? A living sacrifice is somebody who gives up what they would like to do in order to instead do something for somebody else. That's the basic idea of what we're being called to do as a living sacrifice, giving our lives to God. So what are four easy ways that you can do that? We just talked about it. Read the Bible. Worship. Serve. And pray. And what this verse is saying is that if you make that a part of your lifestyle, take away from yourself and the comfy, easy things that you'd like to do and implement these disciplines into your life of serving God and making your time and your life dedicated to learning more about God, it will transform your mind. And it goes on and it ends with, then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, how does that make sense literally? Not like in a big, in your head, spiritual kind of way, but literally, from those four examples, you go from, you do these four things, and then you'll be able to test and approve God's will. How does that work? What specifically of those four things? There's one specifically of those four things that will teach you very easily to start thinking about what God wants you to do, instead of what you want to do that's not necessarily the right thing. You're saying pray, but we're talking about testing and approving. So that means you have to know something and compare it to something else and say, oh, this is what it should be. This is what it is right now. So it's either correct or incorrect. So of those four things, worship, service, prayer, and there it is. Thank you. Reading the Bible. If you guys spend time in God's word, this is the easiest answer to the big question we have here of how do we make sure we're saying and doing things that honor God. If you're reading your Bible, you will easily find out the yeses and the noes that God wants you to do in your life. It's not some big complicated thing. It's not some big wild, you have to be some holy, pious dude and go to 4 years of Bible college and say thy and thee a whole bunch of times. Bible college did not make me more holy. It was a very scary place. You know what made me able to start doing what God called me to do and also share it with others? Reading God's word. You guys do that? Cool. That's the priority in knowing how to say and do what will please God. Two more steps. There's much simpler, and we're not going to get preachy about them. Step number two, get good homies. So you're learning the right stuff. You're doing the right stuff. The second thing you have to do, surround yourself with other people who are also doing those things, because they will encourage you to keep doing those things. And the third thing, stick to your standards. There will be times when you can't be surrounded by the good homies. In those times, do not be a floater that floats from your homies who are keeping you on track to doing what everybody else is doing at school and then back again. And it's like weekends are for Jesus and all the other days, you just do whatever you want. That's gross, right? So when you're surrounded by people who are not the good homies, they're the bad homies, because we are supposed to love the people of this world and we're supposed to show them God's love, but we can't be transformed by them. We should be transformed by God's word that renews our mind, that when we're with the bad homies, for lack of a better term, we say, you know, you guys are going to do that, but I'm not, because that will just mess up my life. Pretty much. That's what you got to say. So with those things in mind, I'm not going to mess around any further. We're going to go to small groups, and they've got questions for you guys to talk about how you can actually make this happen for you.
Thanks for listening to this Apex Students podcast. You can listen to more Apex teachings by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We pray that this message has impacted your life and that you don't walk away without looking a little bit more like Jesus.